Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Viking Age podcast. My name is Chris Shad. I write for the Viking Age as well as Zone Coverage and Bring Me the News. My co-host is Adam Patrick, who is the managing editor of the Viking Age, which has a new look, by the way, which you should go and check out. Yep. Very snazzy over there. But we do this every Monday and Thursday right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. If you miss us, we're available in podcast form on Apple, Spotify the very next day. I don't know why my eye is itching, but we'll work around that. However you consume us, though, rate, comment, subscribe, like, do all those cool YouTube and Spotify, Apple things so you never miss a new episode. Adam, I'm not one for small talk, so we're just going to dive right into it. Trey Lance is back in the news again. The Vikings and Trey Lance, it's almost like Kirk Cousins and Kyle Shanahan. It just never dies. We just keep hearing about it over and over. But NFL's Ian Rappaport said that several teams are looking to do a trade for the Marshall native. Hey, he's from Minnesota. And a lot of people wondered, hey, wonder if the Vikings were one of those teams. Well, Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio reported from an anonymous source, gotta love those this time of year, that the Vikings and 49ers talked about Trey Lance at the NFL scouting combine. So to start off today, I will ask you straight up, Adam, what is the percentage that Trey Lance winds up a Minnesota Vikings?
I'd probably go right now, I'd put it at like 48-52 be the ratio. 52% he's not there, 48 he is. I think there's a good chance because there's too much to connect the dots between the two teams that you could see it happening. There's other teams too that have plenty of connections too as well. You know, they got the Titans. They just got a new GM who's coming from the Niners. They need a quarterback to replace Ryan Tannehill. There's plenty of other teams that need quarterbacks as well. And the Texans, they just hired D'Amico Ryans from the 49ers. They might be interested in him since it doesn't seem like they're too interested in CJ Stroud if he falls to them. But yeah, I think the chances, there's a chance for sure, especially because the Vikings, you know, Kirk Cousins, he's still only under contract until 2024. So right now you have to have at least some sort of plan. And if you're going to invest, if you don't think you're going to be able to land one of the quarterbacks that you like in this year's draft class, then, you know, Trey Lance might be a good person to think about investing in. He's still, what, 22? He hasn't played a lot in the NFL. I know a lot of people are out there like, oh, he hasn't been good in the NFL. Well, he hasn't really played.
And the game he played in was in a monsoon.
Yeah, and then he got hurt the next game.
Yes.
So, like, it's really difficult to judge him based on his NFL production, how good he can be, especially because when he's still 22. And then he was good in college. He was really good. So people tend to just forget about that, how really, really good he was in college. And he has a lot of good traits. He would be going in an offense with Kevin O'Connell where they would, you know, play to his strengths, try and get the most out of him. I don't think they would run him as much as Kyle Shanahan wanted to. They would, you know, let him use his running ability to, you know, escape pressure and things and create different things. But I don't think it would be like, it wouldn't be a Lamar Jackson type of offense where like he's going to get 10 carries a game regardless. So that would be interesting. But, there's a chance too, because and the Niners don't have a first or a second round pick this year, so they're looking to get something. Would Would I be okay if the Vikings gave up their first this year for Trey Lance? I don't know about
that. Rich.
Yeah, I don't know about that. If it was like we give you a first and Trey Lance, and then you get like our second next year, maybe. But I don't know. I would be fine if it was like the Niners were like, we want your third round pick this year. It's like, okay, fine, take it, because that seems like the price that they can probably afford. It's a lower risk still. And right now you still get to take advantage of Trey Lance's rookie contract. Even if you sit him for a year, you still get a year to take advantage of that contract. And he's from Minnesota, obviously. So, you know, there's going to be that connection. The Wilfs would love that. Yeah. But I still, I think there's a lot of upside to trying to potentially add him. So I think the chances right now, 48%, he's there. He's with the Vikings. 52, he's not.
You know, I think the first thing I hear when I hear about Trey Lance rumors is, trade for Kirk. You can't trade Kirk. Like, Kirk's got no trade clause. You can't do that. They can coexist on the same roster. Yeah. I know Trey Lance has a $9 million cap hit, which would have to be worked out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I would think, like, here's the thing. So if they trade for Trey Lance, you basically take a flyer on him, right? You see how he develops in a year. If he does the whole Kellen Mond thing, you go, okay, we're out. I mean, that's where I say you don't give up your first, because if you know he just looks like a train wreck behind the scenes, well, mm-hmm. then you have a problem. Mm-hmm. Like that's gonna put you in a big hole. But if it's something along the lines of a third round pick, I think that's probably the magic number. I think that would be a good trade for the Vikings. Get a guy, have him sit behind Kirk for a year. And if Kirk, like, if Trey Lance comes in with his track record, the guy's barely played football in the last 3 years, right? He had a couple of spot starts in his rookie year. Last year, we mentioned that he played in that monsoon. Then he broke his leg. And even the year before that, the FCS season was canceled because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So his last full season was 4 years ago. He hasn't played a lot of football. So a lot of people who are like, well, he sucked when he was on the field, go back and watch Lamar Jackson during his rookie year, because it did not look like he was going to be a franchise quarterback. And there's still some people out there who think he's not a franchise quarterback. But like, when you get actual reps at quarterback as a first string quarterback, and I think in that offense, he could definitely do the billing for the 49ers. He just hasn't had that opportunity. I think the other thing we need to consider is that I think the 49ers are just fed up with it and like just done. Because John Lynch has the title of general manager, but offensive genius Kyle Shanahan runs that team. Mm-hmm. And there seemed to be a disconnect between those two the second that trade was made. You know, Kyle Shanahan talks about his prototypical quarterback as Kirk Cousins. And you have to ask yourself then, what does Kirk Cousins do well? He's a pocket passer. He goes through his reads. He's accurate. He minimizes risks. Those are all things that Trey Lance doesn't do. He's off the cuff. His accuracy is a little bit waning. He's more of a running quarterback. He's more mobile. Like, remember when they made that trade, there was a rumor that the 49ers wanted Mac Jones.
Yeah.
So there is a chance the 49ers are sitting there just viewing this as a sunk cost and like, let's get something for him. I know they're going to push for a first rounder. I know they're going to push for a second rounder. But if it's a third, would you rather have somebody like Dorian Thompson-Robinson or Tanner McKee compared to Trey Lance? I would take Trey Lance and I would see what I could do with him. If he sucks and you have like a third rounder invested, you just go, okay, didn't work. Like, you took a swing, right? And I think that's more of a swing towards a franchise quarterback than, you know, just, okay, well, we're going to take a quarterback in the third round. And the other thing, I don't think I spit this out, but if Kirk Cousins is upset that Trey Lance is there and like, oh my God, you guys don't like me.
Bye.
Well, see ya, dude. Like, honestly, this is what's happening. We are moving on from you. Like every sign, the fact the Vikings are looking at every quarterback in the draft, the fact that the Vikings are talking about Trey Lance, they have an eye towards the future. And sorry, dude, you're 35 years old. You're not in it. So, I mean, if you get sad and like, oh, I want to go play for Cut, do it. I mean, at this point, yeah, I know Kirk is great, but I mean, this whole season has been about ripping Band-Aids off, and Kirk Cousins has to be one of them. He's got to be one of them.
Yeah, I think you just mentioned it. Like, even if Trey Lance comes in and he's not good, he's not the franchise quarterback, you took that chance, took that risk. That's all you can ask of this regime, to just take those chances, take a risk, and this would be one. So, If they did it, I'd be fine. You know, people, I think a lot of us would still have, we still have plenty of questions about, you know, Trey Lance, if he can be good or not. No one really knows. So people who are declaring that he's good or bad, no one, you really don't know right now. And it depends on the system, depends on his weapons, depends on his health, everything. Just don't know. But if Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell feel like they can bring in Trey Lance and help him, and he can help the Vikings offense get to a different level, you know, present that illusion of complexity that Kevin O'Connell likes to talk about so much, then, you know, then go for it. If this is their guy and they don't think they can get a Will Levis or an Anthony Richardson, then go for it. Like, because you don't have much time.
Very similar to like Anthony Richardson.
Like you said, like, they only have 3 years left on their current contracts, Kwesi and Kevin O'Connell. So it's not like they have a ton of time to make moves. If they want something to happen, if they want to have time to develop a quarterback, a move probably has to be made this year. So they have to, you know, and this could be one way to do it. And I think it's very timely that this report from Ian Rappaport came out, who works for the NFL. So obviously has team sources. So this is coming from the Niners. We're like, hey guys, you know, it's like almost time for the draft. So we just want to let you know that we're fielding calls for Trey Lance. We're not calling anybody, but you know, if you want to call us about him, just go right ahead. And we'll be willing to listen to whatever you, you know, want to offer. And maybe we can talk about it.
It's a lot how, like, you know, Rick Spielman would go up during his pre-draft press conference.
Don't intend.
Like, we're fielding a lot of calls right now. I'm basically like Ranger Smith, like when Yogi Bear steals some picnic baskets. Like, I really just dated myself with that reference, but go look it up, kids. You know, all the phones are ringing and he's got like one on each, you know, ear or whatever. Like, I look at the market, there's a lot of teams that could use Trey. I mean, I think the Niners could get a bigger pick than we think for him. The Texans, you mentioned it, there are some connections there. If they're not sold on a quarterback in this class or just don't want him to get killed, because that's a terrible infrastructure for a quarterback right now, Trey Lance would be a good bridge. The Titans, I mean, you mentioned Rand Carthon's in the front office now as general manager. Mike Vrabel loves running the football, and Trey Lance can run, so there is that.
They drafted Malik Willis, so they obviously like that playing style or whatever, or at least the old GM did, who got fired.
The Commanders, I don't really know what they're doing there. I couldn't tell you who's...
No,
like, I think Taylor Heinicke left, so like they don't have a quarterback right now. That's not ideal. And then you have the Bucks, who... Kyle Trask isn't it, man.
You know, mentioned the Falcons. You skimmed over the Falcons. That could be
this
a team.
This is true, yes.
Too.
Yes.
And then even the Lions. I wouldn't. I've seen a couple Lions reporters, whatever, being like, they got 2 first-round picks. They should take a little peek and see if they can get Trey Lance. Not like Jared Goff is. He's okay. He's in the Kirk Cousins, like, treading water area, where like he's okay, but he's not gonna get. He's been to a Super Bowl, but he wasn't the reason the Rams went to the Super Bowl.
He's a starter in this league. He's accurate. Yeah. Blah blah blah.
Like, just keep an eye on the Lions. But I think the Niners, if they trade Lance, they would like to get him out of the NFC. If in fact he ends up being good.
And you know what, too? You know who the 49ers should target? And like, this would be really interesting if they do. Like,
the Raiders?
Let's say the Titans get Froggy and they give him their first round pick. Right? They should draft Hendon Hooker. Because honestly, like, he would be a great quarterback in that system where he's all of those things that I mentioned. He's a little bit more mobile. Yeah, he's got the knee thing. But I mean, one read offense, basically. Like, that was one of the criticisms of Kirk Cousins, is like he locks into his first read. Well, that's because Kyle Shanahan's offense is a one read and go offense. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a lot of options. I mean, there's a lot of options, but I mean, is this read there? Okay. Or the ball is supposed to be here. It's supposed to be on time. Like, all those little things. I think Hendon Hooker could operate that great. And you could probably shove that in my face and be like, that's why the Vikings should draft him. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, if the Niners went ahead with Brock Purdy and Hendon Hooker as that insurance policy in case, like, Brock comes back too soon and he's got a noodle arm. Okay, well, we got Hendon Hooker. It's just a knee. so it's 'tis a flesh wound, just a torn ACL. Last question on this. What does all this say about Kirk Cousins with the Vikings doing all this due diligence?
It's another sign that the Vikings are looking to the future and they're looking to move on. It's not necessarily saying like Kirk Cousins is automatically gone after the season. There's a very good chance that it happens. But right now the Vikings are like, Kirk, if you go ball out and you lead us to the, like, the NFC Championship or the Super Bowl, then, you know, there might be a good chance that you come back. But we don't see that happening. So we're going to do, you know, what's best for us and look to the future and scout these young quarterbacks and look into some young quarterbacks that we could trade for and invest in our future. Because, you know, right now you're not the guy that's probably going to lead us to where we want to get within the next 5 years.
So yeah.
It's just another sign that they're ready. They're ready to move on from Kirk Cousins. They can say whatever they want to say, like, he's our guy or whatever. Like,
he's accurate. He's a starter in this league.
We can't wait to see him in the offense in year two, see what he can do. I'm going to be rooting for him and all the stuff that Kevin O'Connell says. It's just another sign that the Vikings are looking ahead past Kirk Cousins.
Well, let's look ahead to some of the things that were said at OTAs this week. The Vikings got together. It was basically like syllabus day. I think I said celibate day. other words, same start to the word, just different meaning. Like, you know, you get some letters and mixed around and whatever. So, Lewis Seen was one of the people who talked to the media. It is interesting seeing who talked to the media. Yeah. He's like, you expect Adam Thielen and Eric Kenton. He's like, oh, those guys aren't gone. We got Jordan Hicks up here talking to us. We have Lewis Seen and like a whole bunch of like KJ Osborne is doing interviews. It's like, wait, what? But Lewis Seen, it looks like his recovery is going very well. Seen says he intends to be ready to play at the beginning of the season, but quote, I'm not going to mess anything up or be in a rush. He worked out with the Vikings on Tuesday. I assume he worked out with them, and they're not doing on-field stuff. They're just like basically lifting weights and being like, and you know, going in there and be like, I'm Brian. I'm your new defensive coordinator. Hey, what's up? Actually, it was probably like, all right, listen, you MFers, let's see what's going on here. Harrison Smith said, I completely forgot he was hurt. So I'll ask you this. How much of a difference do you think Lewis Seen can make on the Vikings defense this year?
Oh, a lot. I think Brian Flores will be able to get a lot more out of him than Ed Donatell was going to ever be able to, just because of the aggressiveness that Flores likes to utilize in his defense. And Seen is perfect for that. Seen has a lot of speed. He hits with power. He can tackle well. I think he's a great fit for Flores' defense. So I think if he can be healthy, and stay healthy, his injury was a freak accident. His ankle got caught up in the turf. Someone fell on it. Like, that's a football injury, but it's also just a very low chance of happening again. That's not one where you're like, it's going to be, you know, something that's going to happen every year, because it's not. Now the one thing I would worry about is, last year at this time, you know, everyone was excited about Seen and him. Everyone was basically penciling him into the starting lineup. And then he wasn't in there start the season. And people were a little worried, like, is he picking up this defense or not? Now, was that, you know, partly because of Ed Donatell's decision, or was it someone else? So is he going to be slow to learn the Flores system, or is Flores going to just put him into the fire and say, you know, whatever, because it's not like this defense was good last year anyway. So what's, you know, he's going to make mistakes whenever he gets on the field. He's going to make mistakes. Now, is it worth keeping him on the field because he's going to make more plays than mistakes? That might be something that they consider, because you could either have him on the field and he can make some great plays, make some mistakes, or you could have Cam Bynum who's on the field who's also going to make mistakes and make some okay plays and get, you know, run over by the ref. But yeah, I'm excited about Seen, but I'm keeping my expectations low just because I feel like we're kind of similar in a similar spot last year where everyone was like, yes, this kid's going to come in. He's going to, you know, just be a game breaker and make a huge impact on the Vikings defense. And then he wasn't a starter. He was a special teams guy.
I'm really curious as to what impact Seen would have made last year for the Vikings had he not gotten hurt. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder, like, Brian Asamoah didn't play at all during the early part of the season. And then towards the end, he was making some plays and everybody's really excited about him. I wonder if, as the year went on, would Seen have gotten some of those snaps as they were resting Harrison? Like, I think they put Josh Metellus out there, who's basically a special teamer. Like, would they have used Seen a little bit? And would Donatell have schemed Seen a little bit differently? No. Would we have seen, well, and here's like one area where it could have happened. I don't think it would have, but you know, Jordan Hicks and Eric Kendricks were so slow in coverage. Seen was kind of seen as like this hybrid safety linebacker guy. Would they have put Seen in the linebacker as a linebacker, as a guy that could blitz, a guy that could cover, and all of those things? We just don't know because he wound up breaking his leg in the first.
I can take a very good guess that Ed Donatell would not use him like that because he just didn't do anything at all.
But I mean, they did talk about three safety looks at the beginning of the year.
Something
happened between the draft and the beginning of the season where Ed Donatell said, I'm just going to play shell defense the entire time. I don't think Ed Donatell came in here and was like, we're just going to play shell defense and back off and everything. Like, he probably looked around, saw the lack of speed. And I'm not, you know, I'm not defending Ed Donatell for anything.
Please don't.
It's just this roster was not ready for the type of defense that Kevin O'Connell wanted to play.
Right.
So that, I mean, if you probably, you know, gun to Ed Donatell's head, like, why did you play shell? He's like, this roster sucks. Like, that would probably be what he was saying. And, you know, with Flores in here, and we'll talk about him in just a little bit. Screw it. Let's talk about Brian Flores a little bit. Like, you listen to some of the players that are talking right now. Harrison Smith said, you know, I like his mentality, how he relays information and how he thinks about things. Jordan Hicks said the aggressiveness, the ability to come in with a mindset of we're going to be a tough, good, physical, fast, and aggressive defense. Seen said he likes to let you loose and go play ball. I like to play fast football and let it loose. That's his scheme, what he's known for. I'm really excited to learn his defense. Like, Brian Flores is basically the anti-Donatell, like Kevin O'Connell was the anti-Mike Zimmer. Like, they are just two different things. And I think that Lewis Seen is going to be one of the players that benefits the most because they're going to use him like a rocket all over the field if he can get down the defense, because that's one thing that's not being talked about. It's physically, he is a freak. He is a specimen. Mentally, he's probably a smart dude, but he is more of a, and Ed Donatell mentioned this, he is more of an on-field learner than a classroom learner.
Yeah.
So how long does it take for him to like master the defense and know that he's not going to be a liability out there?
Yep.
That's going to be the key for Lewis Seen.
I agree with it. I mentioned that too. Like, even at Georgia, I know some people that covered Georgia. They talked about Lewis Seen was kind of came along slowly when he first got there. And by the time he was like a junior or a senior, he was, you know, just flying high and doing well in that defense. So it might take a little longer, you know, because we should kind of view this year as Seen's rookie year, because he played in what, three games, three and a half last year. So this is basically his rookie, and he's got.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Learn an entirely new defense again. He does get a little bit more time. He didn't have to spend his offseason training to be a draft pick. So he gets like a couple extra months. Like, as soon as Brian Flores got hired, he probably was able to get the playbook or the scheme and just start learning things immediately. So that might benefit him more. But it sounds like everyone's very excited to play in Brian Flores' defense just because they get to have fun on defense. Yeah. They're not just standing there like playing zone coverage all day, hoping someone doesn't, you know, get behind them. They're just going out there and making plays. If they miss a tackle, so what? They're going to get another chance on the next play. So it's nice to hear the players are excited to play defense, because I don't think we've heard that for a while with the Vikings. Not since probably 20, I would say this reminds me of like 2014 when Mike Zimmer first came in and players were just like excited to play in his system and how much different it was than what Leslie Frazier's system. So it's encouraging to hear their excitement about Brian Flores.
Well, one of the players who is also excited about Flores is Harrison Smith. And you mentioned, you know, players were kind of annoyed with just standing and playing zone. What's that?
Harrison Smith, old man.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were looking down. So I thought you were looking down at your phone like there's some breaking news or something. Mm-mm. But yeah, he was very upset, especially after that Giants game. Just like, why are you having me out in the parking lot? This is dumb. Harrison Smith actually admitted that he contemplated retirement before deciding to return to the Vikings, though. He said, "It is not the first year I thought about retirement. You can't play forever, and it's a big world out there. Lots of things going on. It's fun to think about. Try to dabble in things here and there, but I can still run all right. I can still catch all right." He went on to cite the Wolves' investment in the franchise and Brian Flores' hiring as reasons he came back. It just felt right, he said. Do you think that we'll see a better version of Harrison Smith in 2023, or is this going to be the Adam Thielen lots of game left tour?
No, I think they'll be back to the closer to the Harrison Smith that we came to know and love in Zimmer's scheme, because I think Flores is going to let him do more of the things that Zimmer allowed him to do, to really just to like roam on the field, be wherever he wants. You know, show blitz, don't show blitz, back pedal super fast before the ball snap, things like that that we're used to seeing from Harrison Smith. Because he was kind of just babysitting last year when he was out on the field, just making up for, you know, the lack of skill around him. Just, you know, he had to sit back in coverage. He didn't get a lot of chances to blitz because, well, they didn't really blitz a lot anyways. So, you know, how many times did we see, you know, Harrison Smith makes a tackle in the backfield, you know, for a loss on a running back? We didn't see that last year just because he didn't. And it's not because he wasn't able to. It's just because he didn't get the opportunities to do that, because he was never really brought to the line of scrimmage like, you know, we're used to seeing from him. So I think he's going to enjoy being in Flores' system. I think the concern we should have with Harrison is just like his durability. He is getting older. He has suffered a few injuries last year and recently as well. So that's something to keep in mind. Like, he's probably going to play better, but you also have to worry about his durability moving forward. And then you mentioned the retirement thing. Do you think, after you mentioned that, do you think he would have signed with another team if he didn't play for the Vikings, or would he retired?
That's a great question, because I don't really know. I mean, when you look at where Harrison Smith could have landed, it's hard for me to like think of a better landing spot. Like, he could go ring chasing. Like, he could wind up in Kansas City, or he could wind up, you know,
Bengals.
Philadelphia or the Bengals or some other good team. But this scheme that Brian Flores runs, I think, suits to his strengths.
Yep.
And I think, like, the other thing with Harrison Smith coming back to is the leadership aspect, because there aren't going to be a lot of familiar faces on this defense. No. You lost Patrick Peterson. You lost Dalvin Tomlinson. Maybe Harrison Phillips is like that leadership guy right now, but you lose Eric Kendricks. Like I said, like the press conferences were just telling, because it's like, Jordan Hicks is talking. Oh, Lewis Seen is talking. We'll probably hear from Cam Bynum at some point, like we did last year. He said he wanted to be greater than Tom Brady.
It's going well. That sounds well.
It's going very well. He had that interception against the Jets, though. That was where he's like, be right here. And then it was right there. I'm all for Harrison Smith being back. The age is a little bit of a concern if he does drop off. But I mean, having that guy, especially for Lewis Seen, they like go to and be like, hey, how did you do this? Because Lewis Seen is basically a faster version of Harrison Smith.
Oh, yeah.
So that makes me very excited to see. And remember, too, when Kevin O'Connell was hired, he talked about Harrison Smith as like this like freelancing type of safety thing, and it didn't happen. So, like I said, something happened between then and the beginning of the season where Ed Donatell said, no, we're not doing any of that. So that's basically it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason Harrison Smith's name is, his nickname is Harry the Hitman. It's because he used to just like lay the wood on everybody back in the day. And I think a lot of people forget that, how much of a great, he would just be able to deliver great hits on people before they became, I guess, a little bit more illegal to play the way that he played. And I think Seen has some of those skills as well.
This is just a random thought, but like, you ever realize that Bret Hart's sharpshooter was, or finisher was called the sharpshooter because he was called the Hitman? Like, it makes sense,
nope,
right?
I didn't, but yes, it does make sense.
Like, I just Hitman wrestling brain.
It's really called like what? Like is it a crab?
Yeah,
crab,
I think it's like
Boston crab.
It's like a modified Texas cloverleaf Boston crab thing.
But, yeah.
Fun fact, you aren't technically related unless you've put your brothers and sisters in the sharpshooter for multiple minutes. Anyway, let's end this with some general manager rankings. So yes, we are at that point. These actually dropped a week ago, but we haven't talked about them. Mm-hmm. And when I was kind of like, how should we end this? I found this on the Viking Age website, and Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com dropped his general manager rankings, and Kwesi was ranked too new to be ranked. But here's what he said. Managing a team in transition, Adolfo Mensah helped the Vikings win the NFC North with smart moves in free agency and a timely trade for TJ Hockenson. His first draft class is off to a slow start with very little production despite four picks in the top 66. The Vikings' decision to start weaning themselves off the Kirk Cousins narcotic by passing on an extension this offseason was integral in setting up the franchise's next phase. Is there anything in that quote that you disagree with, Adam?
That I disagree with? Not really, but I really thoroughly enjoy the Kirk Cousins narcotic line there.
It's like a drug. It's like dopamine.
Oh, I need some more.
Give me that check down on 4th and 3, baby. Or 4th and 8. Sorry.
It's that special Kirk Cousins narcotic. It's called Frick.
You take it. You say Frick. I've broken Adam.
All right, back. No, I mean, he was, I think a lot of people know that Kwesi Adofo-Mensah wasn't really given the keys to the car. Like, they gave him like half a key last year. They were like, they kind of gave him like a used car, and they're like, see what you can do with this year, and next year we'll work on, you know, buying you a new one. We'll start saving up some money to buy a new one. And he was like, okay, so he, like, you know, got rid of some parts and put in some new ones and tried to soup it up as much as he could. And they won 13 games, and then they lost to the Giants in the first round of the playoffs. And, you know, so the battery died in the car because it's an old battery. So this year he's getting more ability to kind of mold this car into something that he feels will work best for the organization. And a lot of people are a little skeptical of some of the moves that he's making, especially with Kirk. I know some people are like, oh, I don't know about this KOC and Kwesi duo now. I'm like, they're in year two. Can we give them, you know, a little bit? Like, this isn't what, I don't know, a lot of GMs that have come in and immediately just been like, contender, 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 contender. Like, doesn't usually happen like that. So, like, this takes time, especially when you're put in the situation that Kwesi is, where he doesn't get a lot of control the first year. He kind of has to wait to the second year to kind of do his thing. And he's been doing his thing. They got rid of Thielen. They got rid of Kendricks. They're, you know, moving on from some older guys. They're likely going to move on from Dalvin Cook. They're likely going to move on from the Darius Smith. Who knows what happens with Danielle Hunter? Harrison Smith is pretty close to being on his way out too. Like, things are moving in the right direction. And so it's still too early to judge on like how well things are going for Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. But I mean, taking what he was given in his first year and the team winning 13 games, I think is a really good start. So I can't be mad about that.
Yeah. You know, I like the job he's done overall, but there are some things that you can kind of look at, especially this off season where it is a young general manager trying to learn his stripes. Mm-hmm. I think there were a lot of desperate moves last year to go for a first round playoff loss. Cause like, they never said the word Super Bowl when they were talking about this team. Like,
right,
we're going to get in the tournament and see what happens, and we're going to win the North, and we're going to do all this stuff. Like, that is their goal every year, is to win the NFC North because they get a home playoff game. It didn't mean anything last year.
No.
So when you look back at last year, you look at some of the moves that Kwesi made. A lot of people are applauding the TJ Hockenson trade, and there's a good reason to do that, but it almost seems like overkill in hindsight, because Hockenson was brought in because Adam Thielen declined. Mm-hmm. That's why it happened.
And Irv Smith wasn't playing.
Correct. And the whole KJ Osborne thing also was a big question mark.
Right.
That was kind of weird. I'm very interested to see how KJ does this year. I'll put it that way. But when I look at this draft class, it is loaded at tight end. One guy that I know very well from my time at the Brookings Register is Tucker Kraft, who is, I believe, 6'5", you know, 260 pounds.
Yep.
You know, he ran a 4.48 to 4.52 at his pro day.
Oh, wow.
And yes, the dude can. Now, his first one was like a little higher in the 4.5s, but
4.5 for that guy, that size is still.
But yes, very fast. He is tight end 6 in this class. This class is deep. So when I look at TJ Hockenson, I go, yeah, great. We're gonna pay him. He's gonna be a Viking for a long, long time. But I ask, like, would the Vikings have just been okay if they didn't do that? Because they would still have their second round pick, which we talked about Trey Lance a little bit. Wouldn't it be nice to just dangle a second rounder to the 49ers? Yep. Like, hey, take it or leave it. Or even dip into this tight end class and hope for the best. They still would have signed Josh Oliver anyway. I think that was just something they wanted to do. Yeah. But you look at that and you look at some of the other trades that were made, like Jalen Reagor, not great. Ross Blacklock. Not great. You're down 4th and 6th round picks because of those. And the biggest thing with Kwesi is that I think he tipped his hand this offseason. Like, there were some moves that everybody could see coming a mile away, like releasing Eric Kendricks and Adam Thielen. But Dalvin Cook and Za'Darius Smith are two players that you could have gotten something in return for. And they're about to be released because everybody knows you want to get rid of them now. Part of that was because Za'Darius had that weird post on his social media account.
Bye.
Like Dalvin Cook, it's kind of like you had trade offers right away then. Mm-hmm. Even with a bad shoulder, people were offering you stuff reporting. We don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, we don't know what's happening with Cook. We know there is a 0% chance he's coming back next. And maybe you could be generous and give it like 2 or 3. But I mean, the way his agent is talking, the way that the Vikings have talked about Dalvin Cook, I would be shocked if he is in the backfield next year.
Yeah.
Za'Darius Smith, very same way, because he wants more money. And the Vikings are like, no, we have to like allocate this somewhere else. Like, if you're a GM, why would you give up anything for these guys? And they were substantial parts to the Vikings team. Even like Danielle Hunter now skipping OTAs, that drives that price down because people know he's pissed off and unhappy. Yeah. And they know they have to give him a giant contract if they sign him. So, I mean, Kwesi is young. He's still navigating this. But I would put him in like either the middle third or the bottom third as of right now.
I'd put him in the. I don't blame him for making the Hockenson trade because they were cruising. They were winning a lot of games, and I think in the NFL, you know, you're not guaranteed to win that many games every year. And I think they were trying to take advantage of their success last season. So they made a move like Hockenson, who they thought could help them more than someone like Thielen or KJ Osborne could. So I don't blame him for doing that. The Reagor trade is weird. The Blacklock trade is weird. So yeah, but. Yeah, I think he's middle of the pack right now. Like I said, still too early. Like the draft class that he had last year, they could all make an impact this year. Hmm. I think they're trying to do that. So that's still out there. It's hard to you can't judge that too early. But I'd keep him right in the middle for now. It's too early. And he made some mistakes, but he was a rookie.
Should be perfect. No GM makes mistakes.
Yeah, it's definitely not. Rick Spielman never did that. He never drafted.
Never drafted
Kristen Ponder. He never drafted the German Randy Moss for no reason. He used a draft pick on that. He never drafted a kicker. He had drafted two kickers. He drafted a punter. He drafted two long snappers.
Can we go back to the German Randy Moss thing? Because that's hilarious to me. It's still funny to me
such
now.
A PR, like, it's such a PR pick.
Well, it absolutely was. And I remember watching it. And like, you know, Rich Eisen and like those guys on NFL Network, they were so happy he got drafted. And they're just like, Mobo, yeah, look at him. He's like cool. And then he gets to minicamp. He's like, I don't like Z-Mobo. Do not call me Z-Mobo. Yeah. Like, I don't know if like Mike Zimmer, I don't know how big of a Simpsons fans you are, but remember when Santa's little helper like ran away and then Mr. Burns caught him and like they turned like him into a killer episode, and they like pried his eyes open watching like highlights of like dogs getting like you know, hit with newspapers and stuff, and like he turns into a, like this murderous killer. That's exactly what I think with Mobo. Mobo is probably like, I get to go to America and play Z football. I'm like, I guess he sounds like Borat or something, but he's like, I get to play Z football and play with Mike Zimmer. And like, he met Mike Zimmer and he's like, you're a killer now. I hate you.
He's a tight end now.
Yeah. Is he still bouncing around with like that international program or whatever?
He's a free agent. I'm looking at his Wikipedia right now. I think he's back in the German Football League. Was his most recent team. He was with the Vikings, and then he went with the Bengals for 3 seasons as like a
I remember the NFL had some kind of international exemption program where like if you had an international, like if you found somebody who played rugby in like Australia or something, you could bury him on your depth chart for like a couple of years as a practice squad guy or something. Yeah. But it's like one of the funniest picks in recent memory is just him coming up and be like, I do not like Z Mobo. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. He returned to the German Football League in 2021 and he had 9 touchdowns.
So remember his I'm just going on and on about this, but remember his highlights too? There's like guys that are like half his size.
He's playing as 8th graders.
Yeah. It's like that Adult Swim thing. I don't remember the exact, but he's like tossing guys around, F5ing like linebackers and stuff. Like
I will say this, he does have a crazy spider chart where it's just he tested off the chart.
Can't play football. Why not? Right?
Can't play football, but he tested off the charts. So.
Billy, this is Moritz Boehringer. He tested off the charts. His defect, he cannot play football.
Yeah.
Let's look at some of the top GMs in the league just very quickly on Greg Rosenthal's list. Number 5, he had John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan of 49ers fame. Number 4, he had Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott of the Bills. Number 3, Duke Tobin of the Bengals. Number 2, Brett Veach of the Chiefs. And number 1, Howie Roseman of the Eagles. Weird the top 2 Super Bowl teams would be at the top of the list. I don't know.
I will say this about the Bengals. I keep an eye on them not being able to sign Joe Burrow. They are a cheap franchise, and he's going to want a lot of fully guaranteed money. And right now, Bengals can't afford to pay him.
It took forever for the Bengals to even build an indoor practice facility.
Right.
Like, Pat McAfee had to, like, rib them for, like, 3 years straight to get it built. And they just sold naming rights to their stadium, something they said they would never do.
Well, maybe because
they know what's coming.
Yeah, maybe they are.
They know what's coming.
Okay.
Like, imagine being a franchise. Like, Vikings fans haven't had this franchise quarterback in forever. And imagine if, like, the Wolves were like, God, we don't want to pay this guy. Like, oh, no.
The Vikings used to be like that. They used to be, like, the cheap
back
franchise.
In the day.
Yeah, they were.
Because they gave Dante Culpepper that big $100 million contract, like, 2 cents were guaranteed.
They were known in, like, the 80s and 90s as, like, one of the cheapest franchises. Like, they would lowball you.
But it's amazing in this day and age because there's so much revenue. Like NFL Sunday ticket costs like $600 right now for everybody. And like you're sitting there being like, I ain't paying Justin Herbert. Right. This sucks. Why do we have to pay a quarterback? Like, really?
That's not even your money, dude. Just give it to him.
Oh, shit. Worst GMs. George Payton of the Broncos.
Oh, poor guy.
One of us. Nick Caserio of the Texans. I actually wrote this in reverse. So actually it's he only ranked 25, so he had 7 of them as like 2 new. But Scott Fitterer of the Panthers, Nick Caserio of the Texans, and George Payton of the Broncos. That dude, my God. Like I remember when like Rick Spielman was kind of on the fence back in 2019. Before Kyle Rudolph pushed off and that went over the Saints. Yep. And they're like, Kevin Stefanski and George Payton are the future. Yep. And oh my God.
I don't know. It could have been different because I don't know. Payton kind of, I don't know how much input he had on the hiring of Nathaniel Hackett and the trading for Russell Wilson. I'm sure he had plenty of, you know, input and he helped put the trade together and everything, but I'm sure that was facilitated by other people in the building that
and Nathaniel Hackett was hired because they wanted Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Just like the Jets hired Nathaniel Hackett as their offensive
coordinator. And they're not going to get Aaron Rodgers.
I so hope that trade doesn't go through. So like they sign Randall Cobb and be like, what the hell do we do with Randall Cobb? Shit.
Well, what happens? Like, what happens if that doesn't, what do the Packers do? They're just like, just take your money and just hang out in your darkness retreat or whatever, I guess. Well, we're going to play with Jordan Love. Like, what do you do?
I still want it to be like WWE where Aaron Rodgers just shows up. Like there's just like the lights go out and all of a sudden there's like these psychedelic lights and like somebody call my mom and like Aaron Rodgers is just walking out, just like drugged out. Like, how did I get here, man? I don't even know. Like I was with the Packers one minute and then I blinked and went into my darkness to retreat. And I took like some uppers and downers and like some other type of pills. And like, I had to go see a doctor because it's been 4 hours. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today on the Viking Age podcast. We do this every Monday and Thursday night right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. But we're also in podcast form the very next day. So like, comment, share, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode. I am Chris Shad. He is Adam Patrick. And we will see you on Monday. Friday.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.